Saturday, June 13th, was one of those restful, peaceful days you just must have every now and then. I spent the morning doing that necessary thing, going through the clothes closet, deciding what I could give away and where it would be best suited to give, whether to the Alabama Tenants or to St. Barnabas Thrift Shop or to somebody who works for me like Helen. And also, seeing what I needed in the way of shoes, purse, hat, gloves, to match up with everything else so that I can get it all ready and then forget it until September. Clothes will never be a major interest of mine, but Lyndon has taught me that you never sell for what you're worth, unless on first appearance. You look at least competitively well with those around you. It was such fun to have Doris here, and really the first time I had talked to her. I had promised myself the afternoon off, and there's nothing I would enjoy more than getting in a car with Doris and Scooter and driving off across the beautiful Virginia countryside to Gunston Hall that I had visited with Lyndon's mother probably 15 years ago. So about 3 o'clock, we went out there, saw George Mason's beautiful old pre-revolutionary home with a beautiful paneling, the ladder in the library designed and built by Thomas Jefferson, the pineapple, symbol of welcome, hanging from the ceiling in the hall, the boxwood walk, unexcelled anywhere in America that I have seen, that leads down to the view of the Potomac. And delightfully enough, all along the way, nobody seemed to recognize me. It was only that I got a call from Lyndon just as I was about to walk out the door that took away the sense of being utterly independent and all by myself. He was wanting to know who I had asked for dinner that evening. It was Congressman and Mrs. Joe Poole of Texas, and also Walter Rogers, and the Bob Cases of Houston, and Lindley and Eloise Beckworth. And he had asked Jake and Beryl Pickle, and Marge and Walter Jenkins. Scooter was full of news of the Democratic National Committee, of all the people that we know that are getting divorces or having babies. I've missed her and was so glad to have a good visit with her. And best of all, a good, long, quiet time to talk with Doris. We got back just before our guests came. Doris and I took the first group down to the pool and discovered that we two, along with Mrs. Joe Poole, were the only ones who weren't going swimming. So we walked around the grounds, looking at the trees. The smell of the magnolias is heavenly right now. And I was wondering if the willow oak that I had seen at Gunston Hall, so handsome, what I would want Lyndon to plant here on the White House grounds. Past the fountain where the little dogs stand up on their hind legs and drink their fill. So cute they are. The garden that is to be named for Mrs. Kennedy is progressing beautifully. A sprinkling system has been installed and new turf spread. Soon there'll be a little summer house there where one could have tea and a bronze plaque that will dedicate it to her. We sat down with our congressional Texas friends, easy and homey and fun to talk to, at a beautiful table. I enjoyed explaining about China. We began with the Hayes administration service plates. After dinner, we had a movie plan. First, Mr. President, and then the unsinkable Molly Brown. And I got double use of the evening, because I was supposed to call to make arrangements for Sunday. I excused myself in the movie, missed Mr. President, and had the delight of seeing about 3/4 of Gunsmoke, and then going downstairs to find the unsinkable Molly Brown, only well started, cuddling up in the chair and seeing that gayest story of the waitress who married the silver mine king and took over Denver society. It was a thoroughly self-indulgent day, much enjoyed, and one of the best parts was that I could share it with Doris, and then to bed before 1 o'clock, feeling actually rather shamefaced that I had not gone down on the South Lawn to greet the volunteer workers for the National Symphony Orchestra, to hear the symphony give a concert. But I feel I've done my duty pretty well for a while, and so I'm entitled to a weekend off. I drifted off to sleep with happy thoughts of Linda in the Hawaiian Islands. The picture had lays right up to her nose. If she had on one more, she would have smothered. She'd been invited over to deliver a speech to the second little White House conference on children and youth at the University of Hawaii, and she was going to stay on for a whole week of vacation, her first trip really on her own. Our friend Jack Burns, the governor of Hawaii, will lend a good hand in taking care of her, I think. And at 20, I've just about given her to the world.